This message is titled The Church Yesterday, Today and Forever.
One thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This message is titled The Church Yesterday, Today and Forever.
Hallelujah. I want to begin to discuss something with you on the church yesterday, today and forever. Hallelujah. It's important for us to understand the metamorphosis of the church in a sense. The changes that have taken place in the church from its early beginnings to our day and what is to follow. As you study the scriptures, see, a lot of times the people who read the Bible, they don't understand the message of the scripture. This book we call the Bible is the word of God, and it is a testimony from God on what he said, what men said, what devils said, what angels said, what Jesus said. You get it? Which means everything there is not to be lived by. It is to be understood as to who was talking and what was the context of his speech or writing. What did he mean? So you don't just say, that is in the Bible. Yes, something is in the Bible, but who said it? To whom was it said? And for what purpose? Hallelujah. And so, what do we glean from it? What's for us? How should we perceive it? And I'm looking at the early church, what we call the early church. The early church, where they just got started. It is important for us to understand that the church had to go through a period of growth. They didn't know everything at once. In the first 15 chapters of the book of Acts, the church did not believe that the non-Jews were supposed to be in Christ. It was in the 15th chapter that they had a debate, a serious one. They had had a problem with Peter for even going to the house of a Gentile in chapter 10. And he had to explain himself. But God asked him to do it. 5 chapters later, they hadn't changed their minds. So when you're studying the Bible, you have to understand what was the thinking of the people that it talks about at that time. Whether they were the apostles, for example, the teachings of Jesus. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, some of those teachings are not for Christians to live by. You see it? Some of the things that he was teaching were for the Jewish man. And after you have received eternal life, you can't walk in that light. So you got to understand the past, the present, the future. For example, when he said to his disciples on one occasion, "How come you don't have any faith?" You cannot read that and think for yourself, "Maybe I don't have any faith." Because when you're born again, the Bible says that God has dealt to every man among you the measure of faith. No Christian without faith. It was possible for them in their day to have not had any faith. But no one who's born again has zero faith. And your faith cannot be smaller than what was required to be born again. Hallelujah. That's the amount of faith that's given to everybody to start with. Then you start growing your faith. You know, some of the teachings of Jesus about faith are so much misunderstood by a lot of people that most of those teachings were not for Christians. A lot of them don't understand it. He was talking to the Old Testament folks. Did you know Jesus lived in the Old Testament? He lived in the Old Testament, not in the New. The Old Testament. He was teaching them according to the covenant that God had with Abraham. In fact, you remember there was a time a lady who was bowed over double, who couldn't straighten up herself. And she came in when Jesus was teaching. And the Lord said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from her infirmity?" And he touched her and she straightened up. See? Hallelujah. So I want us to examine some thoughts here and see, where is this thing going? You know, some people think, like, okay, the world is going through a change. And maybe sometime soon, Christianity will be history. No, 1,000 times no. No, this thing will outlive every system. It's not about to fold up. It's getting greater by the day. Let's look at a few scriptures. We'll begin with understanding the early church, the way they thought, and why many Christians are still thinking that way today, and why there is of necessity a move in the Spirit to cause those changes that we must have before the King comes back. Amen. Amen. All right. Let me begin with the Old Testament. Haggai, book of Haggai, chapter 2, and we will be looking at verse number 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now notice it says, the glory of this latter house. Oh, what is he dealing with? Haggai was a contemporary of Ezra. Ezra chapter 3, verse 12. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. I want to read it again. It says, but many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, old men, all right, that had seen the first house, the first temple, the house of God, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. What was going on? They had been given permission to rebuild the temple. And you know, they had trouble. They disobeyed God and they were thrown out. And now the remnant had some help. Others came in, were allowed to come back and build the temple. A place for God. A place to worship God. And so the old men that knew the old temple remembered those days. As the foundation of the temple was being laid, they remembered. Same thing you find when the psalmist tells us, by the rivers of Babel, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. So we hanged our harps upon the willows, the midst thereof. Why did they do that? In fact, they said, they that wasted us required of us a song. And we said, why should we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Because they remembered. So we remembered Zion. And that's what's happening to these men here at this time. They remembered the old temple. And they wept. They remembered what they had gone through. Somehow they're happy. Somehow they're saddened. Happy because it's happening again. Thank God we're going to get a temple now. But then the past. So you couldn't tell. Were they wishing for the past? Were they looking into the future? But I just wanted you to see what was going on. And Haggai was the prophet. So he tells us in his own writing what God said. Why all this weeping was going on. And the priest Ezra was writing what was happening. But Haggai the prophet also had a word from God. So we go back to Haggai chapter 2 verse 9. As they were laying the foundation, God spoke. First, he told them to repent of their wrongs because a lot of them were doing their own stuff instead of doing the work of God, instead of building the house of God. And once they were repentant and ready to do God's work, he gave them the word. He said, the glory of this latter house, not the latter house, but this latter house, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. If you liked that one, then that means you would like verse 8. So let's move back a little bit. Verse 8. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
For prayer and counseling or to share your testimony with us, please call 090-296-9274. Or participate in our online church at www.christembassybeninzone1.org on Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday, or send an email to info@loveworldradionetworks.org.